8. We're going to look at the first 15 verses. And then before prayer time, I have a couple things that I need to bring to your attention. But Acts 28, starting in verse 1, we're going to be looking at. But just a little bit of review to where we are. We're almost done. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, will be the last message from the book of Acts. We'll look at the remaining chapter, remaining part of the chapter, and we will see how that Paul makes it to Rome and how the book ends. But just as a way of review, we remember from last week, all the people of the ship made it safely through the storm, the two-week storm. And even after the ship was wrecked and they needed to swim to shore, look at the last verse of chapter 27. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, all safe to land. So during the storm, you will remember that Paul received the message from the Lord that they would all be saved. And Paul believed God, and this encouraged those on the ship. Look at chapter 27, look at verse 22. It says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And then look at verse 36. "Then they were all of good cheer, and they all took some meat." So we see that Paul the prisoner became Paul the captain. And what opportunities do you and I miss? What opportunities do you and I miss? Or what opportunities do we lose when we panic rather than trusting God? Or what type of opportunities do we lose when we don't handle life's trials the right way? So I'm asking a pretty silly question right now, but have you ever had a bad day? You know, have you ever been through a severe trial? Have you ever faced adversity? Something that maybe even lasted a long time? I want us to see two things tonight concerning the trials that are in our life. Number one, how do we respond? Number two, what can we learn from the storms in our life? Number one, how do we respond? And number two, what can we learn? So how do we respond? We see this in verses 1 to 10. How do we respond, number one, when we're stranded? Look at verse 1 of chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Okay? Today it's called Malta. And here we have an island, you know, here we have them shipwrecked, abandoned on the island, okay? And they were literally stranded. Paul was literally, physically stranded. His transportation to Rome was wrecked, and he was on an island, okay? And sometimes, friends, we find ourselves shipwrecked or on an unknown island. Look at 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, in the first part of verse 16. Paul says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." You know, sometimes, friends, we are forsaken. Sometimes you are forsaken. Sometimes, you know, that happens in life. And even friends turn on us. And Paul is telling to Timothy how everybody forsook him. There were a few there who did not. But he says, who stood by him? The Lord stood by him. And we have to understand, the Lord, if you're his child, the Lord will always stand by you. Paul was still a prisoner bound for Rome. You know, he's stranded. Again, he's still a prisoner. He's still bound for Rome. Remember, he was arrested in Jerusalem. Remember, he was 2 years a prisoner in Caesarea. Remember, he was shipwrecked on an island. And we can't allow long trials to cripple us and to stop us from serving the Lord or destroying our faith. Too often, trials in people's lives destroys their faith. Too often, we let trials cripple us and stop us from serving the Lord. And we're going to see Paul did some interesting things here as a shipwrecked prisoner. Okay? How do we respond when we're wounded? Look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 28. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a tree, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. How do we respond when we're wounded? Isn't it interesting that Paul survives an arrest where they almost killed him, right? Remember the centurion had to save Paul from the crowd? So he's almost killed while he's arrested. He's imprisoned for 2 years. He's shipwrecked. He makes it to the island, and he's bitten by a poisonous serpent. Now, I would say that that's a pretty bad chain of events. Trials often pile up, one on top of the other. You know, think about Job. Somebody came and told him about his sheep. Soon as they were done speaking, somebody came and told him about his camels. Soon as they were done speaking, somebody came and told him about his servants. Soon as they were done speaking, somebody came and told him about his whole family except for his wife dying. Soon as all that was done, he was made sick. And then his wonderful friends came and gave him advice. You know, Satan, the serpent, his attacks are frequent and his attacks are furious. So how do we respond when we're stranded? How do we respond when we're wounded? Number three, how do we respond when we're falsely accused? Look at verses 4 to 6. And when the barbarians, so these people who had built a fire for them, they saw the shipwreck, they felt bad for him. It was cold, it was raining, they built a fire. What is Paul doing? He's serving, right? He's getting wood, he's helping out. Good lessons for us there, you know, just keep serving. But anyway, these people, they see Paul's bitten by the snake. Verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt, this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Well, first off, understand they're barbarous, they're heathens, they're not believers, okay? But the first thing they saw when the snake bit him was, this guy must be a murderer because vengeance isn't going to allow him to live. Okay, fine, he escaped the sea, now he gets bit by a snake, and they're watching. And I'm sure that, there's poisonous snakes on this island, so the people knew, ooh, when you get bit by that. You know, so they didn't have watches, but, you know, And he didn't die. You know, they called Paul a murderer when he was bitten. Was he? No. They jumped to a false conclusion. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you," in Matthew 5, "when people falsely accuse you. Blessed are you For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. How do we respond? Again, how do we respond when we're stranded, when we're wounded, when we're falsely accused? So what do we do in these trials? Look at verses 7 to 10 with me, please. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So isn't it interesting that Paul, going through everything he's gone through since his arrest, finds opportunities to minister? Did anybody have a right to be mad and upset? Right? I mean, ultimately, no. But, you know, boy, we in ourselves could justify Paul for saying, you know what? Enough. But how do we respond to trials? We need to continue to trust God's word. Two times, an angel appeared to Paul and told him, Paul, you must go to Rome. What did Paul believe? God's word. Okay, I'm shipwrecked. I'm on this island. I've been bitten by a snake. But I'm going to make it to Rome because God wants me there. How do we respond to trials? Trust God's word. Keep on going. No matter what the obstacles that are placed in our way, keep going. Keep serving. How many obstacles were placed in Paul's way? He was arrested. And after his arrest in Jerusalem, he witnesses to the people that just tried to kill him. He's falsely imprisoned for 2 years because he's innocent. And what does he do for 2 years? To the two governors, Felix and Festus, he ministers and witnesses to them. King Agrippa, what does he do when he's shipwrecked? You know, he serves the Lord. Keep going. Look what Paul says in Philippians 3. Good advice for us. Good advice for us to remember. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What do we do with those things that are behind? Forget them, right? Now, that doesn't mean don't learn from them, but forget them, whether they're victories or defeats, and keep pressing toward the mark. Keep pressing toward the mark. Keep looking forward. That's why the rear view mirror is smaller than the windshield. You know, it's better to look forward than backward. How do we respond to these trials? Trust God's word. Keep on going. Serve others while you are suffering. That's hard to do, isn't it? But serve others while you are suffering. Paul has suffered tremendously, but here he is taking opportunity to heal people and to minister to them. And a lot of people came. And remember, friends, remember, God is in control. God is in control. And because of this and Paul's faithfulness and his continuing to want to go, Paul was lifted up, Paul was ministered to, and Paul was blessed. What started as a disaster of a shipwreck ended as a blessing because Paul was able to shake it off, literally. What did he do with the... He shook it off. Sometimes we need to shake it off. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, there is a weariness in life. There is a weariness in doing well when no one knows it. But what are we supposed to continue doing? Just continue doing well, because you'll reap. So what else do we learn? What are some other lessons from the storms of life? You all have been through storms. You might presently be going through a storm. And if you have never went through a storm, I guarantee you that you will go through a storm. It's coming. But lessons from the storms of life. God teaches us patience during the storms of life. Look at verses 11 through 13. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. How long were they marooned on this island? 3 months, okay? They're there for 3 months. After 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence, we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. And so the patience of waiting. Now, in preparing for this, I read a quote by Paul Chappell, who is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he's the president of West Coast Baptist College. And he said this, I quote Paul Chappell, "Sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child." Either way, there's going to be a calm if we allow the Lord to work. Either he will calm the storm, or if we let him, he will calm us. He promises that. Look at Psalm 40. This psalm has been a great blessing to me here of late. Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." What is David telling us here? I was sinking in the pit in the miry clay. You ever feel like you're just sinking? Quicksand? Can't get your footing? And then God took him and put him on a rock. And all the people saw what God did. Because David had a new song in his heart. And he praised God. And people saw it and they feared God. So God teaches us patience during the storm. The practice of waiting. Friends, there's only one way to learn patience. And it involves waiting. What's the purpose of waiting? God has lessons for us to learn and people he wants us to minister to. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, what is the purpose of waiting? God has lessons for us to learn and people he wants us to minister to. Lessons from the storms of life. God teaches us patience during the storms. God gives us people during storms. Look at verse 14. They're on Puteoli, and it says in verse 14, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. From this point on, they're no longer needing a ship. If you have a Bible maps in your back and you follow it through these towns, now they're walking from, you know, they're on Italy, they're walking, and they're going to be, after these 7 days, they're going to be walking to Rome. But God gives us people during the storm. They're given by God. Our fellow believers are a gift from God to help encourage us. You may be going through a storm. Somebody you know may be going through a storm. If you know somebody who is going through a storm, God gives us people to help them in that storm. They're given by God for consolation. We should encourage fellowship. A lot of times when people are going through a storm or a severe trial, what do they want to be? Alone. You know the worst thing you can be in a severe storm is? Alone. The worst thing. We should encourage assistance. We should encourage steadfastness. You know, we need to encourage people to keep on. We need to help them. We need to fellowship with them through this. And notice God gives us persistence during the storm. The last verse we're going to look at tonight from Acts, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And of course, next week we'll look at verse 16 and when we came to Rome. They finally make it to Rome. But God gives us persistence during the storm. You know, we need to find courage in the Lord. When we are frightened, when we are discouraged, we always have the choice of turning to God for strength and courage, or turning somewhere else for strength and courage. And all those other things we turn to for strength and courage don't give us strength and courage. So, you know, when we're frightened, when we're discouraged, we always have the choice of turning to God for strength and courage. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, very familiar. I know you're familiar with this. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have courage for our mission. Paul never gave up his purpose for living. And friends, you may be going through a difficult time, but I can guarantee you, your trial is not like Paul's. Was not like Paul's was. And he never gave up. Paul never gave up his purpose for living. And what was his purpose for living? Preaching the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, Paul says, you know, when I came to you, the only thing I was concerned about was the gospel. Sometimes we forget that. Friends, when you cannot go on, when you cannot go on, lean on God's grace. Two more passages. Look at in application. Look at John 16. John 16. The last night, Jesus is with his disciples just before his betrayal. This is what Jesus says. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. So where do we find our peace? In Christ, right? In the world ye shall have, what's it say? Tribulation. Isn't that true? Turn on the news. Talk to my father today. Oh, I'm being recorded. Dad watches this sometime. But my father, like many people, his wife, are afraid to go outside because they watch the news and they hear all the things. And they live in the communist state of New Jersey where they are canceling outdoor events because of fear of the people, the fear that is being generated. In the world, ye, not will, not might, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Isn't that what Paul told all the people on the boat? Be of good cheer. Because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Storms, trials, testings, troubles, they're going to come. It's a fact of life. But why do they come? Can I learn from them? Will I grow better or bitter from them? Will they drive me to the Savior for comfort or to a substitute source of comfort? Will people see me or Jesus in my trials? Will I continue to be a prisoner of my fears or a leader of men in my storm? Storms and trials and testings and troubles, they're going to come. Friends, it's going to sound strange. Don't waste them, but use them to draw you closer to God. Increase your faith and help someone else in their hour of trial. I close with this verse, 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the what? God of all comfort. Why does He comfort us? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Why does God comfort us in trials? So we can help somebody else in their trial. But sometimes we're too focused on ourselves. We don't want to get involved. That's not the Bible way. Okay. Ryan, are we off the air?